I'll read a few verses and then jump to chapter 10. Title of the message today is The Vaccine Issue Part 2, Paganism Revived. Paganism Revived. A good name is better than precious ointment. Lo, this only have I found, that God hath made man upright, but they have sought out many inventions. Dead flies cause the ointment of the apothecary to send forth a stinking savior. Why don't you stick it in your bloodstream? God forbid. Dear Lord, we do pray that you will help us. This day, we thank you, Father, for your guidance in the Word, the lamp, light unto our path. Now help us in Jesus' name. Amen. I want you to understand that although we're dealing with the subject of vaccination, that's not the only subject as it pertains to your life. As we go through the scriptures, I pray that we will learn discernment. I pray that we will learn what God means by health, spiritual, as well as physical. Now it says a good name is better than precious ointment. Many physicians and scientists have sold out their reputation before God for the praise of those who have the power of money. So they're not interested in a good name before God and before good men. They're interested in keeping their name before wicked men. They're interested in the money. Notice this verse in Proverbs 14, verse 20. The rich hath many friends. Now you think about that. In other words, the rich buy friends. You need a scientist or a doctor to comfort the masses? If you have $1 billion, you can buy all kinds of experts. In many ways, you can buy the government. So listen to me today. A doctor or a scientist who is bound by a closed, licensed system controlled by a mafia-style Gestapo, where he loses his license, reputation, money, and job if he doesn't toe the line, his arguments are worthless, meaningless. Imagine a fake witness standing before a gangster or mafia crook, trembling and shaking. Imagine the crook looks to him and says, "Tell them what you saw." And imagine as he shakes there and says, "Yes, I saw him murder him." The testimony is meaningless. It's a meaningless testimony. You're bought and paid for, or either you're threatened. Jezebel had false witnesses. Meaningless. It means nothing. So what we need to do in America today is not have free medicine. You need to free medicine. There's a difference. There's a difference. Every problem just about in medicine today would be solved if you get the government and the licensing and all of that out of medicine. If you want to be a doctor, go be a doctor. If you want to get a private organization to stand for your reputation and skill, you have that liberty. And people have the liberty to either choose you based upon the evidence and the testimonies, or they can go down the road to somebody else. Buyer beware was what our founding fathers set up. Free doctors from state licensing. Then you're going to see a radical change. You free the scientists and free the doctors from the chains that bind them. You wouldn't believe the differences of opinion you would have out there. Already within this bully system, this puppet system that parrots whatever big pharma mandates or bribes them to say, already you have plenty of whistleblowers and people that have come out and have declared themselves medical heretics if need be. And they paid a great price. In a medical science dictatorship, you're not permitted to be an independent thinker. You're not even permitted to be a skeptic. Those that set this up in this way have declared before they did it and while they were doing it that they're going to make a person that goes to school that will come out and you will not have to use any force whatsoever. They cannot think. They have no independent thinking. And they will think their opinions that they have been fed are theirs. They will think they are thinking. I have the quotes to prove it. In a medical dictatorship, in a science dictatorship, you are not even permitted to be a skeptic. Now let me ask you a question. Somebody said, well, we need the state involved in medicine. That way we can protect people. Ask the little babies how that's been working out. If you could, ask the elderly who have been murdered by morphine. Ask them how that worked out. How many lives have autocratic states murdered? Jane M. Orient, Dr. Jane M. Orient, she sent me a great article on herd immunity the other day. She says, trading freedom and free speech for supposed security ultimately leads to a loss of both. And if government can dictate what you must inject into your children, what limits can be placed on its power? Have you ever thought about who you're giving the control to? Robert M. Kaplan in Medical Murder, Disturbing Cases of Doctors Who Kill. He says, doctors have frequently been accomplices in state-led repression, brutality, and genocide. Doctors have performed inhumane experiments on victims and participated in torture. Ask Planned Parenthood about that. Now let me ask you a question. Because the people believe that they had no power to decide for themselves, they gave power to the state to decide for them. Can a state be bribed? I don't have time to get into it, but I'll show you where the vaccine industry, I will show you documented cases where they bribed the government. I will show you documented cases. Why would you let everything be turned over to an autocratic state that can be bribed? Or not have your best interest in view. Dr. Russell Blaylock says it is now known in the research world that questioning vaccine safety is a career killer. Who wants to have their career killed? Follow the money. The love of money is the root of all evil. You can't say, well, many scientists believe in evolution. Follow the money. It means nothing. Until you get rid of this system, it means nothing. In Australia, every second Aboriginal baby was dying. Dr. Archie Kalokorinos boosted their immune system with vitamin C and other things. And he brought the infant mortality rate down to zero. He was declared a medical heretic by many. However, so many came out and stood with him. Nobel Prize winner Linus Pauling endorsed him. What does he say? Dr. Archie says they went through Africa and South America. The vaccination reduced their immune levels and acted like an infection. So there were very few susceptible infants left alive to get measles. That's one way to get good statistics. Kill all those that are susceptible, which is what they literally did. He says, I found that the whole vaccine business was indeed a gigantic hoax. My final conclusion after 40 years or more in this business is that the unofficial policy of the World Health Organization is one of murder and genocide. Wow. Wow. But right now, opposing arguments are being silenced, like always. Hitler taught people to do this. Shout them down. Humiliate them. It doesn't matter. Just keep repeating the same line. They'll embrace it like a religion. They will not be able to think contrary to what you've done because you've used scorn and ridicule to control what you believe. To keep everybody in the box you want them in. Right now, type in any subject in Google or YouTube, and you can see quickly what the powers that be want censored. And now your question is, why? Why do you want to censor the information? You know that Facebook, YouTube, Google have started censoring information. Just yesterday, Fortune magazine says GoFundMe pledges to shut down anti-vaccination campaigns. Why? What's the matter? Facebook-owned social network Instagram will blacklist anti-vaccine hashtags in an effort to crack down on misinformation. Wow! What a world! Last week, I went through some biblical arguments against vaccination. I showed that poisons, heavy metals, aborted cell lines, DNA from unclean animals and insects, I showed it's all in these vaccines. We looked at the real reason that many diseases were eradicated or reduced in the world, with quotes from various doctors. We examined biblical sanitation and cleanliness and quarantining. You bury your sewer in the Bible, outside the camp. You don't cook with it. You don't use it as fertilizer like an idiot. Now we've got horrible diseases returning. It's not because people are shunning vaccines. It's because their natural immunity has been destroyed and wrecked by vaccination, which gives an artificial, sometimes temporary immunity, only to wreck your immune system like antibiotics do. And also we have filth returning to the cities of America. Here's a headline from March 15th in Scientific American. Medieval diseases flare as unsanitary living conditions proliferate. Well, there you go. There's your answer. There it is. Infectious diseases, some that ravaged populations in the Middle Ages, are resurging in California and around the country, and they're hitting homeless populations especially hard. Los Angeles recently experienced an outbreak of typhus, a disease spread by infected fleas on rats and other animals in downtown streets. Officials briefly closed part of City Hall after reporting that rodents had invaded the building. Hepatitis A also spread primarily through feces, infected more than 1,000 people in Southern California in the past 2 years. The disease has also erupted in New Mexico, Ohio, and Kentucky, primarily among people who are homeless or use drugs. No, you don't need to run out and vaccinate. According to my view, you need to get yourself clean. You need to learn how to be clean. You need to learn how to build up and strengthen your natural immune system and get out of these filthy cities, lest you be plagued with their plagues. We covered all of this last week, and I want today to examine where the process, this practice of inoculation originated. God, in the Bible, has given us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. I follow the Bible. The Lord's Word is a lamp unto our feet. So if God has given us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, where is inoculation in the Bible? Where is in certain diseases under your skin? Where is taking a disease off a horse or cow or monkey or pig or a dead person like smallpox? Where do you see taking a person with the Egyptian smallpox who is dead, taking some pus off of his wound and rubbing it under your skin after you cut your skin? Where do you find anything like that in the Bible? Where would that be endorsed? I do not believe my God would have kept us from such an important thing. If that is the medical wonder that they say it is, then I believe our God, who has given us all things, would have given it unto us. People say, well, you have cars today. You didn't. Hey, we had chariots there in the Old Testament and New Testament. You had transportation. I'm talking about principles here. Principles. In 1 Timothy 6, Paul, through the Holy Spirit, says, O Timothy, keep that which is committed to thy trust. Let's keep the Bible. Let's keep the teachings of the Bible. Avoiding profane, that's worldly and vain babblings, and oppositions of science, falsely so called. We need to avoid those oppositions of science that are not real science. And then Paul tells us in 2 Timothy 3, this know also, you better know it, that in the last days, perilous. That means dangerous times shall come. Dangerous spiritually and dangerous physically. Dangerous, perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves. They're not going to care about truth. Covetous, boasters, proud. They think they know more than God. They know more than the Bible. They're wise in their own eyes. Blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy. Now listen to what he says. Now as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these also resist the truth. Men of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning the faith. But they shall proceed no further, for their folly shall be manifest unto all men as theirs also was. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and has been assured of, listen now, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. And then he tells you to get back to the Bible and stick close to the scriptures that'll make the man of God perfect, throughly furnished unto all good works. I want you to listen to what we see here. We learn in 2 Timothy that in the last days, the deception will be African. African. You say, where do you get that from? Jannes and Jambres were Egyptian sorcerers. Egypt was mainly in Africa. Africa. Now I want you to notice. The last days deception will specifically be Egyptian. Egyptian. Egyptian sorcery. The old occult physicians of Egypt. Paul said, you better watch out in the last days. Just as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so will they resist the truth in the last days. And evil men and seducers will wax worse and worse. You better know where what you believe come from. Basically, I think he's saying you better find out if it came from the Bible or if it came from the Hermetic occult system of Egypt. You better know what you are embracing, whether physical or spiritual, is from Egypt or from the Bible. The occult physicians of Egypt were filled with what we call Hermeticism from Hermes and alchemy and sorcery. And I believe the Bible is saying in 2 Timothy, it's going to revive and lead many astray. Egypt was known for bad health and bad diseases. God says, if you obey and do things like I tell you, physically and spiritually, I will not put the diseases of the Egyptians upon you. They were known to have smallpox and diabetes and heart disease and cancer and many of the things that you see in modern America today. And they were known to use unclean medicines and sick and vile ways of trying to purify and heal themselves. That was all rooted in their Hermetic sorcery. Now, there are many different ways that this ancient Egyptian magic will affect people in the last days. It will be disguised as science, and it will include much of what's called modern medicine. I could show you some things that are very interesting to prove that, but I don't have time. But one thing, the medical system today is adopting the old pagan utilitarian outlook. What's good for the herd? It doesn't matter the collateral damage. If we can be convinced it's better for the population, let's just abort these children, even if they're born alive. We don't care if these people are dying, these babies, and having neurological disorders and seizures and everything. It doesn't matter. We want to have the health of the herd to think of. It's a death culture from ancient Egypt. It appears to include a revival of jungle animism and pantheism, including sorcery by the use of mind-altering and dangerous drugs. We've searched the scriptures, and the practice of inoculation is not found. But we do find warnings against unclean things. We find warnings against ingesting human and animal blood. We find warnings against murder, thou shalt not kill. We find warning against presumption. And we are told by our Lord that they that are whole do not need a physician. But the vaccine advocates have bragged and boasted, as I showed you last week, that they are turning that upside down and proving the Lord Jesus Christ wrong. Let's see then. Since we know it's not found in the Bible, the best we can, let's see where this practice of inoculation, the forerunner to vaccination, was birthed. Now, when we begin in the Bible, we see that Satan is called the serpent, and he appears as a serpent in Genesis. He ends up on his belly. Throughout the Bible, we see the venomous, fiery serpents. What do serpents do? They pierce your skin. They pierce your skin, and they insert poison directly into your bloodstream, bypassing your digestive system. You'd be far better off drinking snake venom than having it go directly into your bloodstream. It's the serpent that puts things directly into your bloodstream, bypassing your immune system, bypassing your digestive system. In Burma, the outskirts of India, people would be tattooed with ink that contained snake venom in a pagan effort to inoculate themselves against snake bite. God forbid marking the body. We know the Antichrist in the last days will put his mark in the right hand or forehead to inoculate you from some danger. There are people that we have examined in other sermons in the hills of Kentucky and Tennessee that presumptuously play with serpents in an attempt to gain immunity. Some of them build up a partial immunity and after a few years get bitten, die. Over and over and over. Grandpa died, my daddy died, and just a long list of death from that sin. The body does build up a tolerance to some degree to some poison, but not to most heavy metals. Think about that before you vaccinate. You're not going to build up a tolerance to heavy metals. But even though you build up a tolerance, like with alcohol, it results in a later disease, such as liver disease. Your body does what it can to overcome what it hopes is just an accident and not your stupidity. You get out here and eat organic and get rid of MSG and antibiotics and flavorings and colorings and all of this junk and pesticides, and then all of a sudden you start feeding your kid at a local restaurant, they'll throw up all over the place. You get out here and take a pure girl that's never drunk a glass of wine and give her half a glass of wine, she'll fall over and vomit everywhere. The body tries to build up a tolerance to alcohol. That doesn't mean you're supposed to go. Does God say so? Go build up a tolerance. No, he says, look not at it. Look not at it. Don't go build up a tolerance to it. Don't look at it. Let's look at some history in no specific order. From the Grub Street Journal in 1733, it says inoculating in the smallpox is Mohammedan. It's Islamic. The people's eyes are now more open and the practice declines. Would not he be laughed at that should pull out a sound tooth for fear it might be rotten hereafter? How many lives have been lost this way? Let the mourning parents declare to us if they would recommend inoculation to any other parent. It is one thing to trust Providence and another thing to tempt it. Isaac Massey, in a short and plain account of inoculation in 1722, says inoculation produces the smallpox. Here, remedy and disease signify just the same thing. They call it safe preservative, though sometimes it kills. Hey, today they call it Planned Parenthood, though it kills little babies. Let me ask you, by what authority do you arbitrarily impose a distemper on your son in perfect health, which kills him? I would advise them to change the word inoculation to incantation. He challenges the inoculators to make the statistics public and quit manipulating them. He goes on to say, where the doctrine of salvation is not known, where regular dependence upon the providence is postponed to the absurd belief in fatality, there is no wonder to see men like these Muslims into impious and unreasonable practices. These physicians of no value, these forgers of lies, entice us till a dart is struck through our liver. We must not presume upon God's protection. Let the atheist then, and the scoffer, and the heathen go get inoculated. But let us who are better instructed look higher for our security. Francis Halgrave in 1724, reasons against the inoculation of the smallpox, says it is a pagan practice. And if you Christians are going to follow this pagan practice, I hope an infirmity shall be built distant from town, where persons who have this strong desire of making experiments upon themselves may resort to. You want to go out and get the flu shot and all this trash put in your body that sheds diseases? Go somewhere else, far away, so you can get them until it is out of your body, so you don't hurt those that are weak and have weak immune systems. And in this day and age, the way people eat, there's a lot of weak immune systems floating around. That they draw a bow at a venture. And now let the warm supporters of inoculation lay their hands upon their hearts and consider whether destroying so many lives be agreeable with any precept of law or gospel. We've been told that this practice came from Turkey. The Royal Academy of Medicine of Paris in 1745 declared inoculation as murderous, criminal, and magical. G.W. Harman, doctor, in 1900, in the Monthly Journal of Scientific Medicine and Surgery, says a physician's argument is this: vaccination is the bastard of the pagan practice of inoculation. Had there been any truth in the superstition, it never would have been given up. But the truth is, it was very destructive to the public at large, and the general mortality from smallpox was greatly increased. Dr. Jenner conceived the idea that cowpox poison introduced into the blood of a human subject would prevent smallpox. Now we have an animal poison, the product of a filth disease being introduced by law into the blood of healthy, innocent, and defenseless children. Every death report shows that our soldiers are dying of smallpox, yet they were all vaccinated before leaving this country. In England, vaccination was made compulsory in 1853. Since then, they have had 3 smallpox epidemics. The Denver Medical Times of 1901 says, before the days of Jenner, the idea of cure by inoculation had been put to practical test by the heathen. The National Anti-Compulsory Vaccination Reporter of 1875 says, in our last reporter, we recorded the death from vaccination of a child. The Daily News of the 6th of June has a paragraph from the medical press intending to show that vaccination was practiced in India in very remote periods. Lady Montag lived in Constantinople as the wife of a British ambassador. She lived around Muslims. She observed Turkish women practicing inoculation. In 1721, after she returned to England, she promoted the practice that she had learned from these old Muslim women. And she had Dr. Charles Matlin inoculate her daughter. Here's a letter that she wrote in 1717. The old women come with a nutshell full of the matter of the best sort of smallpox, and they ask what vein you would like to have open. They immediately rip open that you offer to her with a large needle and put in the vein as much matter as could lie upon the head of her needle. The Grecians have commonly the superstition of opening one in the middle of the forehead, one in each arm, and one on the breast to mark the sign of the cross. Wow. So what happened is the Muslims were practicing this form of inoculation, vaccination. And she returns from these Muslim countries and brings it to England. In the Journal of Social Medicine 2012, they say the origins of inoculation. In 1714, a letter was written by Emmanuel Timonius at Constantinople, circulated around Europe and read to the Royal Society by John Woodward. Quote, the writer of this ingenious discourse observes in the first place that the Circassians, the Georgians, and other Asiatics have introduced this practice of procuring the smallpox by a sort of inoculation for about the space of 40 years among the Turks and others at Constantinople. When this was published in the Philosophical Transactions of the Royal Society, it triggered a reply from Reverend Cotton Mather, a minister in Boston. He says, I'm willing to confirm to you that many months before you wrote this, I had from a servant of my own an account of it being practiced in Africa. Inquiring of my Negro man, Onesimus, who is a pretty intelligent fellow, whether he ever had the smallpox, he answered both yes and no. And then he told me he had undergone an operation which had given him something of the smallpox and would forever preserve him from it. Whoever had the courage to use it was forever free of the fear of contagion. He described the operation to me and showed me in his arm the scar which it had left upon him. Onesimus was from what is now southern Libya. Another minister, Benjamin Coleman, described his conversation with several Negroes who had also been inoculated in Africa. It was also being used by Arabs in North Africa before 1700. With few exceptions, a needle is used to prick the skin, often in a circular pattern. Inoculation had become established in the Ottoman Empire, but where had it come from? Two possible origins have been suggested, China or India. Joseph Needham investigated the origins of inoculation in China. One of Needham's texts reports that it was first practiced between 1567 and 1572, and that it had been invented by those who based it on alchemical principles. Basically, this scientific modern paper is saying, in our research, it came from China. Where did the Chinese get it? From those who practiced alchemy. And we certainly see it already in Africa. We see it in Africa among the jungles. Even the word alchemy comes from the word Ham in our Bible. Ham, meaning the land of Egypt. The land of Ham, meaning the dark or hot place. Alchemy was birthed in Egypt. Now, in this environment, you need to understand what was happening in New England, children. You've heard of the Salem witch trials. In my book on the history and defense of literal interpretation, I go in depth to this history concerning the witch trials, where good Christian people were accused without due process of being witches and put to death. Why were they accused? Because a slave lady taught some teenage girls how to do African sorcery and have out-of-body experiences. And before you know it, the girls were having supernatural strength and speaking in male voices and writhing and contorting. And they knew that they were possessed. So in folly and foolishness, they said, who did this to you? And they put the girls on the witness stand. Well, filled with devils, they pointed to all the good Christian ladies and Christian people of the land and said, he did it, she did it. Not only that, they'd make a witch's cake. They would take rye flour and the urine of an afflicted person. The cake was then fed to a dog. The dog then would run and supposedly point to whoever was the real witch. In fact, from quotes at the time, it says the people had embraced occult sorcery superstitions. Even those that were prosecuting witchcraft had embraced witchcraft. Many of the judges later repented and says, we use witchcraft to kill people that weren't witches. Reverend John Williams in 1722 says, inoculation is a delusion of the devil. And there was never the like delusion in New England since the time of witchcraft at Salem when so many innocent persons lost their lives. Reverend John Williams says, inoculation comes from the same thing as the witch cake does. It's the same pagan superstitious garbage. You must understand what had happened. There were many good Christians and many sober, sane people. But the climate had begun to embrace from the time of the early Renaissance occultism, hermeticism. In fact, Bruno, in the early Renaissance, says that we are now bringing in the dawning of a new age. We are going back to the Egyptian religion of Hermes. And we're going to unite all the world's religion under the religion of Hermes. This spread all the way up to Isaac Newton, who embraced alchemy and the religion of Hermes. So you must understand the climate in New England. Among those who thought they were educated, many of them had embraced sorcery. That is the climate that inoculation, heathen inoculation from a slave in Africa, spread to America. W.B. Clark, doctor, in 1899, says a physician's open letter to the State Board of Health. There is abundant testimony that consumption, which was tuberculosis, is caused by vaccination. The practice called vaccination is but a grotesque superstition, and it has been weighed in the balance and found worthless and dangerous. James Carrick Moore, in The History of Smallpox of 1815, says Howell, an English surgeon who resided many years in Bengal, mentions that inoculation was practiced in India from the remotest antiquity. It is in the hands of a particular tribe of Brahmins. These travel around and inoculate in the spring, propitiating the female divinity of smallpox. From the John Hopkins Hospital Bulletin of 1913, says in Africa, the practice continues to this day among certain tribes. Among the Bari, the Somali, it seems to have been highly developed by the Baganda, and some Morris tribes practice inoculation on their children. By Mohammedan tribes in Tripoli. In India, a similar method seems to have been carried out on a systematic plan by special delegates of the Brahmin caste in conjunction with a religious cult of the smallpox deity. Only after it had reached a certain development of Constantinople could it be studied, reported, and recommended in England, in Europe. Wow. I'll take the religion of Moses and the religion of Christ over the religion of African animists and Brahmins. Dr. Daniel Duffy, family doctor of chiropractic in Ohio, says vaccination is the single greatest threat to human life and health today for three reasons. Number one, vaccination was born in the superstition of Egyptian antiquity. He's really studied. Praise God, he knows that. Two, vaccinations were given new life by the medieval medical quacks and drug peddling entrepreneurs of the Renaissance. Yes, indeed. And number three, historical fact demonstrates that vaccination has never cured, prevented, or ameliorated a single disease. The evidence is now, and has been for over a century, available to demonstrate that the plagues of old were the results of sudden population explosions with diminished food supplies. Dr. Benjamin Sadler proved beyond the question of a doubt that the polio epidemics proved to be the result of overindulgence in adulterated high sugar foods. The citizen had better wake up and drive this medical demon out of their governing bodies now, while peaceful means to do so are still available. What's he talking about here? He's talking about that your cancer and other things in your body that are corrupt eat the sugar first. And when you give them honey, a little bit, you have something that kills the disease while the cells eat it. And why these terrible diseases in your body eat the sugar. But when you just feed raw cane sugar, there's nothing in it whatsoever. It just feeds the cancer cells first. It feeds the disease first. And as we continue to pump that with no vitamin A, no cod liver oil, no butter, no grass-fed dairy, no vitamin C, no fruit. I mean, no wonder people are full of pesticides and all this trash. And then they're eating all this cane sugar and their children are sick continually. God forbid. This pagan vaccine practice is going to gain steam and continue to become mandatory. And I believe it likely will be included in the mark of the beast. You could actually call it the inoculation of the beast. That's mandated. You don't have a religious exemption to not take the mark of the beast. You don't have a philosophical exemption. Headline: Why thousands of Swedes are implanting microchips into their thumbs. It's all very futuristic, but are you next? I want you to listen to what the grandson of Charles Darwin said. I want you to listen, please. In 1952, he said, there is the possibility of substantially altering the intellectual and moral natures of individuals by some sort of hormonal injections. He was telling his fellow big money Rockefeller types, One World Order types, that we can continue to use this vaccine propaganda. And we can put things in the vaccines that will control people. You better listen to that. You better listen. How about Bertrand Russell in The Impact of Society, also in 1952? Listen to what he says. Diet, injection, and injunction will combine from a very early age to produce the sort of character and the sort of beliefs that the authorities consider desirable. He said, we will use diet, we will use shots, and we will use mandated laws. And we will force you to take the shots, and that's how we will control people. In Science and Technology of May 6, 2006, I want to remind you of what Aldous Huxley in 1932 in Brave New World. In his book, he showed a future world that's going to come that is this totalitarian world controlling people by pleasure and drugs. He said in this coming world, 70% of the women will be exposed to male hormones and turned into women with masculine behavior. Here's Science and Technology from 2006. Boyish brains. Plastic chemical alters the behavior of female mice. Exposure to very low doses of BPA results in the masculinization of the female brain, says co-author Anna M. Soto. Females exposed to either dose, large or small, were less distinguishable from males on the basis of their behavior. Several scientists have estimated that the average person's daily exposure to BPA is similar to the lower dose given to animals in this study. They actually changed. They gave really small doses of BPA to animals, and the females began to act just like the men, the male animals. It shows significant effects at remarkably low doses that are well within the range of known human exposures. In fact, the BPA concentrations used were so staggeringly low that people will inevitably be exposed to similar amounts, says Dr. Vomsell of the Missouri University, that has sent us a lot of good information and interacted with us about how they took college kids and had them drink out of cold water bottles and plastic and then measured the amount of BPA in their blood, way beyond these limits right here, that caused male behavior in female mice. Are women becoming more masculine? The Lord said to the woman at the well, go call your husband. Go call your husband. Are they becoming more masculine? Well, you need to write down on a sheet of paper, what is masculine behavior? What is feminine behavior? Classically, what was masculine behavior and what is feminine behavior? Sit down. Pray about it. Write down on a sheet of paper what you believe masculine behavior is in the Bible and in culture. And then analyze what's happening today. Analyze what's happening. Are women becoming more masculine? Are men becoming more feminine? Are they reversing roles? If you ask me, I say you better believe it. You better believe it. A lot of it's through social, demonic, Hollywood indoctrination and false teaching. Some of it's temptations that are coming physically. Now, I need to show you something else, where everything is heading. In ancient Greece, they had what we call today chimeras. Half animal, half human. Modern scientists have told us that these are mythological stories. Mythological stories. Solomon says there is nothing new under the sun. It's an interesting question. What the people in the first world of Noah had actually accomplished through contact with devils? It's an interesting question. It's an interesting question. What they had been able to accomplish. Some believe those myths were rooted in some gruesome inventions that devils taught early mankind to participate in. Are we having a revival? And I do believe God, who destroyed the first world with water, God, who destroys mankind and judges mankind and says, now look what they'll do. They'll pervert everything. I believe mankind is back to playing God and doing gross things, and I don't believe God's going to stand for it. I believe God's going to wipe it all out again, this time by fire. The BBC in 2017 says the birth of half-human, half-animal chimeras. Frankenstein scientists developing part-human, part-animal chimera, exclaimed the UK's Daily Mirror in May 2016. Science wants to break down the fence between man and beast, the Washington Times declared 2 months later. The hope is to implant human stem cells in an animal embryo so that it will grow specific human organs. For millennia, chimeras were literally the stuff of legend. So the idea is this. Since everybody loves animals so much, they don't care about little babies, they love animals. They want to put vaccines and practice vaccines on people. They want to practice scientific experiments. And they want to grow human organs. But they can't do it in animals. So they want to make these chimeras, these half-human, half-animals. And they think then they can be free to just farm them and grow human organs. National Geographic in 2018 says sheep-human hybrids now made in the lab. Get the facts. ABC Local in 2018 says these mice have brains that are part human. Are they mice or are they men? Eureka Alert 2018. Researchers to enhance guidelines for ethical human-animal chimera research. At first they said, no, we're not going to do this. Now they've kind of opened the door and says, go ahead. Go ahead. I think we're further along now to where people will accept it. Medical Express in 2019, just a week ago, says Japan okays research using human cells in animals. I want to read to you from Dr. Shiv Chopra. Vaccines and the Basics of Biology. He is an award-winning microbiologist. Anyone knowing the basics of biology should know that all vaccines by their very nature are antigens, and that every antigen by definition must be a foreign protein or a substance attached to one's own or some other foreign protein. Two, that no foreign protein can be absorbed into the bloodstream unless it is digested into the alimentary canal into its basic amino acids. Three, that it is these amino acids which, after being absorbed in the bloodstream, are reconstituted into one's own proteins. And it is these proteins which distinguishes every being. Therefore, any interference or tampering with these laws of existence can bring calamity to that being in which it occurs, such as by causing autoimmune conditions like autism. This is precisely what may be occurring due to vaccine injections in people. What he's saying is this. You eat animal protein from clean animals. It goes through your digestive system. The body then puts it through a process. Your cells, when they die, go through a process which breaks that down the DNA in the cell so it will not be released into your bloodstream. But vaccines put DNA, human DNA, human cell lines, protein from human blood, unclean animal and insect DNA directly into your bloodstream, bypassing your immune system. And there are now microbiologists and scientists saying, what does that mean? We've never had proteins enter our bodies in this way. Some of them are making religious statements and ethical statements. Some of them are saying, what does that mean we are becoming? What does it mean when we're bypassing the digestive system and inserting proteins and DNA into our bloodstream? So now we have DNA from other humans that have been murdered, and we have that DNA and DNA from monkeys and DNA from unclean insects and from blood. We have all of this into our bodies bypassing your body's immune system. What does that mean? What is it going to do to people? What is it doing to people already? Some of them are asking, are you already becoming part animal in some strange physical way? At the very least, they say, you're getting strange diseases and neurological problems that you should not have to be dealing with. R.W. Pannell, in 1933, in the Kingsport Times, says vaccines kill vast numbers every year. Children will soon be compelled to take their monthly serum to appease the medical Moloch. And the welfare, hellfare polluters will have a new race of Americans in 50 years. The race will be part horse, part jackass, part cow, no tonsils, no appendix, no gallbladder, brain mauled, conscience destroyed, and enough monkey blood injected to grow a tail, and the rest human. There are many honest men in the medical profession, and many of them are turning against the political, money-grabbing, power-seeking, autocratic medical machine which dominates the medical profession. Are we to be slaves to this tyranny? Are we awake or asleep? We reap what we sow. I do not believe we can expect health when we shoot animal putridities into our bodies. You trust these people? You trust the people that gave you evolution? You trust the people that gave you Crisco and killed a whole generation or two of grandparents with heart disease? You trust these people after the sugar cover-up to tell you that butter and meat is what's wrong when they were covering up cane sugar the whole time? Now everybody admits? You trust these people? The Atlantic in 2018 says, are you ready for a medical RFID implant? A medical RFID implant? In other words, this is no longer just for tracking purposes. It's no longer just to enter a building or for financial reasons. It's merging now with medical. They've already produced GMO Franken vaccines. I don't know what could be worse. It's already full of garbage. How could it get any worse? But now they said, hey, let's just manipulate it. Let's genetically modify these things. They're already there. Some of them already are GMO vaccines. They don't know what GMO food's going to do. They don't know what it's going to do. How about that great antibiotic experiment that they said would save the world? Now type in the antibiotic apocalypse, superbugs invading the land, super pests, super diseases that cannot be killed. Now they're telling you, wait a second, back off the antibiotics, get them out of your food, get them out of your food supply daily. It's obliterating your immune system. It's not only doing that, it's bringing endocrine disruption, but it's messing up your food system. They don't know what these GMOs are doing, just like they didn't know what the antibiotics were going to do. Don't you mess with God. There are things we can do to soften the curse. But God gives you parameters and warns us, do not cross lines. That's why that book is God's manual. It's not only God's guiding manual, it's God's command to man. You follow this or else. You go outside the lines of this scripture and you'll be cursed. The future will no doubt bring mandated inoculations, more of them, that will culminate in the mark of the beast. And that mark of the beast will be given to protect you. Another quote from Bertrand Russell in 1931 says, just as the sun worship of the Aztecs demanded the painful death of thousands of human beings annually, so the new scientific religion will demand its holocaust of sacred victims. Perhaps by means of injection and drugs and chemicals, the population could be induced to bear whatever its scientific masters may decide to be for its good. He's saying the vaccines are not just supposedly for your health. They're to control you. In some ways, to lower your intelligence, to make you more docile, to give you endocrine disruption, to make you controllable, to lower the population. I have here a picture. The construction of a generic vaccine chip. Here it is right here. You can barely see it. There is the vaccine chip. I can give you a headline from a company, I believe it's in Vietnam, that's already made vaccine chips for poultry and livestock. They're having conferences on it right now. You could look it up. It's already being involved in animal. What it is a medical vaccine chip. I just want to show you where things are going. You better back off mandated vaccines. Whatever you believe after all of this about vaccines, one thing you better believe and fight for. If you believe in putting that stuff in your body, you better fight for my right not to put it in my body. You better uphold the rights of Americans to resist this as long as we can. Where will it end? Where will it end? From 4 vaccines to 76 that are mandated? Where does it end? Is it a ritual every Friday to go get shot in the arm with 50 vaccines? What is it? Where is it going to end? You better stop it now. I don't know if you can stop it. They gave you the internet. It helped destroy the families of America with pornography. There's some collateral damage. At the same time, it allows free information, anti-vaccine, all kinds of other information to get out that normally would not have had any ability to ever be heard. And now the powers that be are saying it's gone too far. It's gone too far. We got to stop it. We've got to control the internet. We must control social media. Not just controlling the results. They're already doing that. But controlling the very ISP. Controlling the ability of you to publish information that they do not want you to have. Go to the average high school or college kid and say, you think information ought to be controlled? Too many of them don't even know what the Bill of Rights is. Many of these kids say, I think that's great. It's dangerous having information out there. We need people to control our information. We need to know what fake news is. We need to know what fake news is. Oh, yes, you really do. So you're going to let Snopes and the Southern Poverty Law Center tell you what fake news is? You're going to let Big Pharma, that's making billions off vaccines, tell you what fake news is? You're going to let the system, the mafia system, tell you what fake news is? You have to be an idiot. But nevertheless, they prophesied that they would make a generation like that. It's all in the plan. They've done what they said they're going to do. As the virgins fell asleep. You better wake up. You better wake up. You young people better wake up. I want you to have children. I want you to live in an America that's free, or at least has some freedoms left. You better wake up. Dear Holy Father, we give you our allegiance as we honor and seek to obey your holy, inspired word that's preserved for us today, that gives us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works, that we might be in health in our soul and body. We thank you for the wisdom of Solomon that surpasses anything that scientists or medical men have found today. We thank you that you've told us the love of money is the root of all evil, and in the last days, sorcery will revive, and people will turn to demonic spirits and jungle animism. You told us to know, God, where we've learned everything and what the source is. But Lord, thankfully you've told us that this wickedness of Janice and Jambres, wherever it's found, will be manifest before all in due time. Oh, thank you, God, that you expose it, that it can only last so long before it's seen as foolish and absurd, as the blinders fall off of people. God, help this church and anybody that hears this message and so many more in America and around the world, help them to know, to be able to discern the propaganda in regard to their diet, in regard to the injections, and in regard to the injunctions. Let them learn, God, to be wise, to read ingredients, to search things out, and to not stick anything in their mouth, lest they know what it's going to do to their bodies. Help us become more diligent to what these wicked people, to expose what these wicked people are doing. We love you, Lord, and we thank you. May we not presume upon you. In Jesus Christ's holy name, thank you for your blood, for the gospel, for salvation, free through faith alone. Jesus' holy name, amen.